May 25th, Committee on Rules. My apologies for my tardiness. I was meeting with some folks doing some really difficult work. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1018. Ms. Harris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the bill and with the First Lady and folks come on up.
Thank you, Chair Brown. Senate Bill 1018 modifies the qualifications for and the term of the Office of Poet Laureate of the State of Oregon.
Chair Brown and members of the committee, I'm Mary Oberst. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to testify before you today. Poetry is the economical use of language. Since I'm here to talk about Senate Bill 1018, which changes Oregon's poet laureate statute, I'm going to respect the essence of poetry and be brief. Chris Darcy, on my right, Director of the Oregon Arts Commission and the Oregon Cultural Trust, will fill you in on the details of our plans for reviving Oregon's long tradition of having a poet laureate. I just want to take a few minutes of your time to explain why having a poet laureate is important for Oregon. The tradition of a poet laureate in Oregon dates back to at least 1921, when the post was held by Edwin C. Markham. Our most recent poet laureate was the great William Stafford, who served from 1974 to 1989. Since then, we've been a state with many poetic voices, but no one poet to unite us, to speak for us, and to inspire us. This has been a real loss for Oregon. It's also a sad irony that Oregon, whose beauty and people, including our native brothers and sisters, could serve as any poet's muse, doesn't have a poet laureate. The governor and I both think that the time has come to enrich our cultural landscape once again by appointing a poet laureate of proven stature. Senate Bill 1018 will help us do that. The bill makes one important change in ORS 357.925, the existing poet laureate statute. It reduces the term of poet laureate that the poet laureate will serve from 4 years to 2. This reduction will lessen the commitment that any one poet is asked to make, while giving more of our many talented poets the chance to write for and about Oregon. Poetry allows and even encourages the writer to throw out the rules. Think of E.E. Cummings with his broken syntax and his refusal to use capital letters. True to form, our poet laureate will have considerable freedom to shape his or her new assignment. But I hope the poet laureate will do more than write, lecture, and celebrate major historical and cultural events in the life of our state. By bringing the tradition of the poet laureate back to Oregon, we also have a chance to reach children and teach children, using a form of communication that is even older than the written word. Chair Brown and members of the committee, by giving Senate Bill 1018 a due pass recommendation, you'll be taking the first step toward giving the children of Oregon a great gift, a poet laureate who will read to them, instill in them a love of words, spark their imagination and creativity, and turn what may be a fear of reading poetry into a passion of writing poetry. What other benefits will we reap from bringing back a poet laureate to Oregon? Like poetry itself, it's a mystery. But I'm reminded of these words from Robert Frost. A crop is a crop, and who's to say where the harvest will stop? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Darcy. Senator Brown, members of the committee, my name is Chris Darcy. I'm the director of the Oregon Arts Commission and the Oregon Cultural Trust. And thank you to First Lady Mary Oberst for her support for arts and culture across the state. We appreciate all of your support of our interest to reinstate a poet laureate for Oregon. The idea was birthed by Oregon's statewide cultural partner agencies, the Oregon Arts Commission, the Oregon Council for the Humanities, the Oregon Heritage Commission, the Oregon Historical Society, and the State Historic Preservation Office. We are recognized by the Cultural Trust for our statewide cultural missions and our capacity to shape and deliver statewide programs and services. We also partner with the Oregon Cultural Trust on the distribution of funds from the Trust itself. And by statute, a portion of our funds from the Cultural Trust must be used for a collaborative project that brings together all of Oregon's cultural sectors. The cultural partners are committed to the reinstatement of a poet laureate, and we have pledged that we'll devote our shared funds from the Cultural Trust to support the project. The Poet Laureate Project overall responds to the partners' interest in supporting a project that brings together the cultural sectors and helps to shine a statewide spotlight on work funded by the Oregon Cultural Trust. The Poet Laureate has the potential to reach young and older Oregonians and serve as a cultural ambassador to students, scholars, communities, libraries, and others. The Poet Laureate would have opportunities to create new work that might address or commemorate events or circumstances in Oregon, or to commemorate Oregon overall. And the partners view the role of the Poet Laureate as highly visible and active. We have formed a Blue Ribbon Selection Committee to work with us on the selection of a new laureate, and I'm very pleased that Mary Oberst, First Lady of Oregon, has agreed to chair that group. That group has already convened to discuss what the scope of an Oregon Poet Laureate might encompass, what's desired, and what's realistic. Among the issues we've considered, should it be a poet? Should it be another kind of writer? Should the laureate have a broad scope of work, outreach, community readings, library appearances, and what kind of an expectation is there for that person to develop new works? It was consensus that the Poet Laureate honor should be rotated through Oregon's broad and deep community of writers. The existing Poet Laureate statute, as Mary Oberst suggested, provides for a 4-year term for the laureate. Senate Bill 1018 amends that statute for a 2-year term, and we definitely support the legislation before you. We again thank Senator Brown for her support of this important cultural project, one that will really bring together all corners of Oregon. Once the issue of the term of the Poet Laureate is resolved, we will circulate a call for nominations so our selection group can consider the broadest possible group of Oregonians for this honor. We ask for your support and for a due pass of Senate Bill 1018. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for this group? Senator Ferrielli?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just really so strongly support the concept of a Poet Laureate, but I wonder if this is one of those honors that isn't designed to bankrupt the honoree. This doesn't seem to come with any endowment, or this doesn't seem to come with any mechanisms to reimburse the Poet Laureate for being asked to drag from pillar to post all throughout Oregon, commemorating in song the events, you know, past, present, and potentially future. Why isn't this connected with an endowment or a charity, university, or some other remunerative mechanism so that the Poet Laureate doesn't end up, like so many of our other volunteers, subsidizing one of the services of the state?
Madam Chair, Senator Ferrioli, we appreciate your concern for compensating artists for their work. One of the reasons that the statewide cultural partners have come together around the notion of the reinstatement of the Poet Laureate is that we intend to use our shared funds from the Oregon Cultural Trust to support, pay a stipend to the laureate, and provide travel support, potentially help distribute that person's work once they're selected.
And I hope that we post this position through the Oregon Employment Division. You can get a broader reach of people looking for employment in the arts.
Madam Chair, Senator Ferrioli, we can do that.
Great. Any other questions, Senator Atkinson? Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Darcy. Thank you for all your hard work. Ms. Oberst, thank you for your leadership on this issue.
Thank you for your time.
All right, with that, we'll close public hearing on Senate Bill 1018, open a work session on Senate Bill 1018. We have amendments. Ms. Harris, tell us about the amendments.
We have a minor technical amendment, Madam Chair. The purpose of the amendment is really just to avoid unnecessary repetition of words like State of Oregon in the statute. So it was really just a sort of technical fix.
Great. Chair would move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 1018. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. The chair would move Senate Bill 1018 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Did you want to carry, Senator Ferrioli?
Sure.
Okay.
You,
you're welcome.
Senator Brown?
Senator Atkinson?
Senator Ferrioli will allow me. Could I carry a bill? I have a very good story to tell about being quizzed by the Premier of China about Oregon's Poet Laureate.
I'll let the two of you fight it out in non-committee time.
Happily defer to the Senator.
Okay, it's done. All right. Thanks for joining us today. Next up, 1062. Okay. All right. Mr. Hendricks will want to come.
I do.
If Mr. Hendricks gets this notice, I would like to at least hear Senate Bill 1062 soon, as he's able to come join us. That issue is relating to the retention of public records by the Legislative Assembly. Chair would move into work session on executive appointments. Who would like to carry these executive appointments?
Madam Chair.
Sarah Atkinson?
I would really like to carry the Board of Dentistry, as that's a constituent of mine.
Would you be willing to carry the entire package?
Yeah, he would.
So there's a method to my madness, Senator Atkinson. Okay, we get a yes. Okay. All right. Chair would move the Oregon Board of Dentistry to Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Chair would move Oregon Government Standards and Practices Commission, Thomas Bruner, to the commission. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing, seeing none, so ordered. Chair would move Katie Durant to the Oregon Investment Council. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move Rich Pepper's appointment and reappointment to the Public Employees Benefit Board. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move State Catherine Mattimore to the State Plumbing Board. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move Michael Washington to the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move Marian Anderson, William Lichten to the Long-Term Care Advisory Committee. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move Oregon International Board of Commissioners, Port of Coos Bay. Candidates are Jerry Hampel, Katie McCowan, and Daniel Smith. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move Rosemary Burdine to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. The chair would ask if Senator Atkinson would like to carry on the floor. We would ask to suspend the rules and move all of these appointments in block. And that's why, if you're willing to carry them all, that would save us a lot of time and energy. Is that okay?
I agree.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
That'd be great. Okay, that's done. Let's move to a work session on Senate Bill 1028.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. What's his name? Chair opens a works public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 1028. Is Mr. Wiley in the room? No, Mr. Wiley's in the room. No, Mr. Wiley's outside of the room. You want to scream out in the hallway? Just kidding. Okay. Ms. Harris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the amendments that we have before us?
Madam Chair, I just got these amendments 5 minutes ago.
Oh.
So perhaps the people who have actually been working on them can enlighten me and the rest of the
All right.
people at the dais.
Ms. Deckert, Mr. Van Cleve, no? Okay. You knew I was going to put you guys on the spot at some point or another.
That's why he tried to
do it.
Slow.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Inga Deckert with the Oregon State Treasury, and I just got these amendments about 1 minute ago.
You know what? I sort of have a philosophical opposition to moving amendments before anybody's had a chance to read them. I had that experience in the House when we were all required to vote on a bill that everything was still hot. So why don't we close this work session? You all can go out in the hallway and read them and then come back and tell us what they do. How's that?
All of us.
If you want to, too, that's fine. No, you're staying here.
Okay.
Thank you. I just feel uncomfortable unless somebody's actually read them. Sorry. Technical details. The joys of being a lawyer. Okay. Open a work session on Senate Bill 1052. Ms. Harris.
Thank you, Chair Brown, committee. We actually heard Senate Bill 1052 initially on May 5th. This is the bill that authorizes the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training to appoint
a commission of humane special agents. These would be individuals with the authority to enforce criminal laws pertaining to animal welfare. There is one amendment that we just got, and Damian and Merriweather is here to tell us what the amendment does.
Come on up, Ms. Merriweather, and bring your certified smart person with you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Damiana Merriweather here today on behalf of the Oregon Humane Society. We are here with the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 1052. I have with me Lieutenant Randy Covey, who is currently a Humane Special Agent commissioned by the Governor's Office. And the proposal you have before you in the form of the Dash 2 amendment is the agreed-upon language that we brought to you in draft form at the public hearing. We worked, the Oregon Humane Society worked in collaboration with the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training to come to this language that meets the needs that we're, the goal that we are seeking, which is to move the commissioning of these agents from where they currently sit in the governor's office to what we think is a more appropriate setting in the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. And this language allows that function to be moved without there creating any substantial burden of cost or other challenges for the department to implement. They are comfortable with this. They think they can implement it without any difficulty. As the language states, the Oregon Humane Society will continue to carry the cost burden of all activities related to the training and commissioning of these agents. Happy to answer any questions and or let the lieutenant answer any questions.
Senator Farioli.
The officers currently sworn officers.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, the officers are currently sworn in as part of the commission through the governor's office, and under this bill would continue to be.
And Madam Chair, the officers trained through the Bureau of Police Standards and Practices, Bureau of Police Standards and Training.
DPSST,
yes, Madam Chair and Senator Farioli. That is correct. The current requirement with the governor's office is that officers are trained. This bill would continue that requirement with some leeway with the department to determine what the appropriate training would be.
Okay. I guess, Madam Chair, the thing that I would love to see at some point in time is that as in the Oregon State Police, some officers specialize as game officers, game enforcement officers, but they're fully sworn and fully trained as sworn OSP officers, and they can move laterally in different areas because they have that training. And I'm hoping that at the end of the day, the law enforcement officers that choose to specialize in the prevention of cruelty to animals are also fully trained and fully sworn.
Madam Chair, if I may just briefly speak to this issue that Senator Farioli has raised, simply because I know it has been a recurrent question as we've addressed this issue. There are officers in existence and that deal with wildlife management, game wardenship. This office of the humane agent would not have any purview in that. That really isn't within the setting of what the Oregon Humane Society is. Functions are in terms of really their relationship with domesticated animals, companion animals, aid animals, those sorts of things. And I just want to clarify, because this has been raised, that they really are very distinct. And in the statute, those who have authority to enforce those animal welfare laws are separate and distinct from those who enforce game and wildlife laws. And
Madam Chair, the first of my question has to do with the fact that officers, in pursuance of their duties investigating potential crimes involving animals, often encounter garden variety criminal behavior in other areas where other statutes are violated. And I just want to make sure that officers get the appropriate training in firearms and procedures so that they end up confronting people that are bona fide bad guys, that they are fully equipped and trying to deal with that issue. I don't. Nothing in my question had to do with game enforcement. It had to do with fully trained OSP officers specializing in an area. Some go to, other types of investigative careers. But I'm just still curious to know: are these officers going to go through the normal Department of Public Safety standards and practices training, get certified as officers, and then be hired by the agency?
Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, that's a really good question, and I agree with your concerns and appreciate the support in that regard. You are correct, of course. We do, in the course of our normal duties, run across various types of crimes. The short answer to your question is that this bill does address that. It does require that we go through the training. That it does allow the department to determine the training appropriate for the specialty that we have. It specifically excludes the standard field training that deals with DUI enforcement, those types of things that officers, after they leave the academy, go through at what I like to call traditional law enforcement agencies. So it doesn't require that sort of training because those are things that we would not normally run across. But it does require the training that would address approaching people's homes and their doors and dealing with potentially dangerous situations in the course of our normal investigations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions for this group? No. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us today. We're in work session on Senate Bill 1052. The chair would move the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 1052. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Chair would move Senate Bill 1052 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Senator Shields, do you want to carry that bill?
Going to the dogs.
Would be the humane thing to do.
Going to the dogs.
Okay. All right.
The inhumane thing to do.
All right.
I won't commit too much.
Chair's going to move into work session on Senate on House Bill 2500. There are no amendments on House Bill 2500. Ms. Merriweather, you just want to come forward in case there are any questions. Folks might remember this bill. We heard it last week. I think there have been several conversations since then. Requires the state provided substance abuse treatment programs meet standards promulgated by the Department of Human Services. Any questions for Ms. Merriweather? Chair would move. We're in work session. The chair would move House Bill 2500 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing seeing none, so ordered. Senator Shields, I'm going to let you carry that bill.
That's two in a row.
It's up your alley.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right. We're going to be in recess for a few minutes. Committee is going to adjourn for the day. Senate Bill 1062. We do not have witnesses from Legislative Council here. We will hear that matter next week on Tuesday. And Senate Bill 1028 will be taken up tomorrow at approximately 3:00. We have some amendments that are not quite ready yet, and folks have some questions. So we will take that matter up tomorrow at 3:00. If you have any questions, please see committee staff.
Are you going to ask any questions today?
No.
Oh,
I demand the record. No, I don't want to do that today. I've got to go to negotiations at 4. I'm going to bring Inga and whatever in to see you and do it
all
that
right.
way. And then we'll get them on the record, okay, tomorrow?
Hang on just a minute. Okay, but there are some questions that I want to ask, and I want
okay.
some people here tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
Phil's here. It's his life. Anything else? Anything further come before the committee? Adjourned.